Out of all the historic trails, you know, the ancient roads, the mountain paths scattered across the entire Earth, there are only two that are actually recognized by UNESCO as World Heritage pilgrimage routes.
Just two in the whole world.
Right, just two. And today we are going to walk both of them back to back without getting a single blister. So welcome to today's deep dive.
I am so ready for this.
Yeah, this is a good one. We have a really fascinating stack of sources in front of us today, specifically curated for you, the listener. We're looking at this incredible collection of travel itineraries, regional histories, and, well, adventure summaries from a company called The Walking Connection.
Specifically, their 2027 signature adventures, right?
Exactly. The Kumano Kodo in Japan. The sources describe this intimate 9-day journey, May 9th through 17th, 2027, and it's capped at a maximum of just 12 guests.
The contrast is immediate. The journey actually begins in the massive, neon-lit, energetic urban center of Osaka. But it deliberately leaves all that behind to enter the ancient, deep, mist-covered forests of the Kai Peninsula.
It sounds like stepping into another world.
It really is. They are walking the Nakahachi route. So you're moving over packed earth, climbing up these steep, historic stone stairways covered in exposed tree roots, all while being completely surrounded by towering cedars.
The environment sounds deeply secretive compared to the open plains of Spain. I mean, the vibe just seems so different. The goal here is to visit the three grand shrines of Kumano Hongu, Hayatama, and Nachitaisha, which, by the way, features a massive 135-meter waterfall.
Breathtaking.
Yeah. But there's also a major stop at Koyasan, which the documents note as the 9th century center of Shingon Buddhism. Now, I know Shinto focuses on nature, but how does Shingon Buddhism change the feel of this walk? Because Spain seems so social, but Japan seems, I don't know, more solitary and introspective.
You hit the nail on the head. Shingon is an esoteric branch of Buddhism, and the word esoteric is key here. It focuses on enlightenment through secret rituals, complex mandalas, and mystical practices that are often completely hidden from the uninitiated.
So it's supposed to feel mysterious.
Exactly. When you walk through Koyasan, particularly the Okunoan Cemetery, which is lined with thousands of moss-covered stone lanterns and the centuries-old graves of monks and samurai, the environment feels deliberately cloaked. It's quiet because the religion itself is built on profound, inward-facing mysteries.
It sounds incredibly solitary, like the steep climbs, the dense forests. It feels like the physical effort here isn't just a means of getting from point A to point B, but an actual mechanism for something else.
Stepping onto the Kumano Kodo is actually going to feel surprisingly familiar, but in a very internal way.
How so?
Well, the Kumano is famous for stripping away the modern ego. Veterans have already shed that athletic achievement mindset. They aren't tracking their steps on a smartwatch to brag about their pace on social media.
They aren't trying to beat a personal record.
Right. They already know the memory you take home isn't about the miles you conquered. It's about the emotional resilience you built.
So the veteran is already primed for the silence. They get it.
Exactly. But for a first-timer, the sources emphasize that this isn't just a physical hiking trip through the mountains. It is a highly demanding crash course in internalizing quiet moments.
That sounds intense for a beginner.
It is. The first-timer is transitioning from a Western, perhaps more aggressive way of conquering a mountain, to viewing the journey through the lens of Japanese culture, where hospitality, mindfulness, and observation are literally art forms.
Let's talk about that cultural contrast for a second. Because while the internal goal of slowing down is the same for both sister trails, the external ways Spain and Japan facilitate that relaxation are just completely opposite.
Well, night and day.
Yeah. The Spanish Camino experience is incredibly outward and social. You're resting in places called paradores, which are these meticulously restored ancient castles and monasteries. You are hanging out in lively plazas.
Enjoying the atmosphere.
Right. The trip involves drinking complimentary local wines with your meals, doing specific Rioja wine tastings. It's a very shared vocal celebration of survival.
It really is. The Camino is all about community. You suffer together during the day, and you celebrate together at night. But when you contrast that with the Kumano Kodo's cultural offerings, the Japanese immersion is much more introspective.
Much quieter, I imagine.
Very much so. Instead of a boisterous wine tasting in a public square, your cultural touch points in Japan are hyper-focused and quiet.
There is a very specific detail in the Japanese itinerary that I really want to push back on, because I think a lot of Western listeners might hear this and immediately feel a rising sense of panic.
Let me guess. The communal baths.
The communal baths, yes. I mean, the idea of soaking your aching muscles in a natural hot spring sounds amazing. But the phrase communal bathing triggers an immediate culture shock. What does the source materials actually say about this to ease the listener's mind?
It's a very fair point, and it's something Western travelers stress about constantly. But the designers of this trip address it head-on with a great sense of humor. They explicitly state in the itinerary, this is not a group let's get naked moment.
I'm so glad they put it exactly like that.
They definitely know their audience. Look, the Japanese onsen is not a pool party. It is a highly structured, meticulous etiquette that is actually designed to give you profound personal privacy, even in a shared space. It's a ritual of purification.
So walk me through the actual mechanics of that ritual. How does a nervous first-timer navigate this without panicking?
Sure. So you begin by changing into a provided cotton robe, called a yukata, in the privacy of your own room. You walk to the bathing area, which is strictly gender separated. And when you walk in, you don't just jump in the water.
Right, there's a whole process.
Yeah, you find an individual shower station. You sit on a small wooden stool, you use a handheld shower, and you wash every inch of your body thoroughly with soap.
So you are completely clean before you even touch the hot spring?
Entirely clean. The hot spring isn't for washing, it's for soaking. After you wash, you use a small modesty towel, which you are given specifically to cover yourself as you walk from the shower station to the water. You only remove the towel right as you slip into the mineral-rich thermal water.
Oh, okay.
And you usually place the folded towel on top of your head while you soak.
So you aren't just wandering around in the buff making small talk?
Not at all. In the onsen, you are meant to be almost entirely silent. You are staring out at a forest or a rock garden, feeling the thermal heat penetrate muscles that have been pushed to their absolute limit. It is a deeply internal recovery process.
Which brings us perfectly to the reason you need that recovery process in the first place, the actual physical toll of the Kumano Kodo. To need that purification, you have to get dirty first. Looking at how this trip is structured, it doesn't just drop you immediately onto a mountain peak. Day one actually starts in a massive city.
Right. The urban start in Osaka.
Yeah.
Osaka is energetic. It's loud. It's famous for its incredible street food. It acts as a staging ground. It gives you one last burst of modern sensory overload before you leave the modern world entirely behind.
Then you take a train and a local bus out to a place called Takajiri. This is the traditional gateway to the mountainous interior of the Kii Peninsula. This is where the pavement ends and the ancient trail really begins. But looking at the daily mileage for the walking portion of this trip, it's actually really short.
It looks deceptive on paper, yeah.
Right. The longest scheduled walk is only about 6.5 miles. Mm. On paper, that sounds like a leisurely stroll through the park.
And that is the biggest trap a modern hiker can fall into. Distance is a liar on the Kumano Kodo. A 6.5 mile walk on a paved, graded path at home is entirely different from 6.5 miles on an ancient pilgrimage route.
How so? What is the reality of this terrain?
Well, the path is often a chaotic web of exposed tree roots that are slip with moisture. You are navigating uneven, moss-covered stone steps that were laid down by monks centuries ago. But the trail doesn't just leave you to struggle endlessly. The exertion is punctuated by these brilliant psychological anchors called Oji.
What are Oji?
They are subsidiary shrines scattered along the route. Historically, as pilgrims moved deeper into the sacred, treacherous mountains, they would encounter these small, often moss-covered shrines.
Like little checkpoints.
Exactly. They act as spiritual checkpoints. When you reach one, you are meant to stop, rest, perhaps offer a small coin or a prayer, and mentally reset before tackling the next segment.
So it breaks this overwhelming physical challenge into manageable, mindful pieces. You just have to make it to the next Oji. And this physical toll eventually leads you to the spiritual heart of the trip, which are the three grand shrines.
Yes. The physical breakdown allows for the spiritual buildup. You finally arrive at Kumano Hangutaisha. The architecture here is just stunning. These dark wood pavilions with sweeping roofs made of cypress bark. Historically, this specific area was associated with death and rebirth.
Wait, death and rebirth? That sounds intense for a walking tour.
It is intense, but not in a morbid way. In the blend of Shinto and Buddhist belief that govern this region, its walk through the mountains represents the shedding of your old self, the death of your ego.
Oh, I see.
So when you arrive at Hangutaisha, purified by the journey and the hot springs, you are symbolically reborn. You are a cleaner, quieter version of yourself.
And then the scale of the environment just continues to expand. The itinerary says you visit Hayatama Taisha, and then you face something called the Daimonzaka.
Yes, the Daimonzaka. It is an incredibly dramatic, historic stone stairway. It is lined with towering ancient cedar trees that are hundreds of years old.
Wow.
Their roots are practically interwoven with the stones. You climb this massive shaded stairway to reach the final grand shrine, Kumano Nachi Taisha.
And right next to that is Nachi Falls,
which is the true culmination of the physical journey. Nachi Falls is a breathtaking waterfall that drops 135 meters straight down a forested mountainside. But it isn't just a pretty natural feature.
It's sacred, right?
Yes. In Shinto belief, the waterfall itself is a kami, a sacred divine presence. You have spent days walking through nature, and it all culminates in bowing to the sheer, terrifying, beautiful power of this waterfall.
So by the time you reach that waterfall, you have paid the physical toll. You've seen the grand shrines. If we think about this in terms of a narrative, the intense physical walking is mostly done. But the itinerary for this trip doesn't end there. It suddenly shifts gears entirely.
It really does.
Yeah, you leave the deep trail and you head to a place called Koyasan. Why the sudden shift?
Because if the first half of the trip breaks you down physically to open your mind, the second half of the trip is about filling that open mind with profound artistic and monastic immersion. Koyasan is a temple settlement situated about 900 meters above sea level. It is the absolute center of Shingon Buddhism, established back in the 9th century.
Okay, I know we've mentioned Buddhism generally, but what specifically is Shingon Buddhism, and why does it matter to a pilgrim who just finished walking through the woods?
It matters deeply. Shingon is an esoteric form of Buddhism. Unlike some other sects that focus on reading texts or hoping for enlightenment in an afterlife, Shingon places a massive emphasis on achieving enlightenment in this very body, in this very lifetime.
So it's very present focused.
Extremely. It is highly ritualistic and deeply tied to nature. So for a pilgrim who has just experienced the profound physical connection to the mountains and the waterfalls, Koyasan is the intellectual and spiritual explanation for what they just felt.
That makes the next activity they do at Koyasan make so much more sense. The itinerary has the group walk through Okunoin.
Yes, Japan's most sacred cemetery.
Which initially sounded a little jarring to me. You just had this beautiful moment at a waterfall, and now you are walking through a graveyard.
But you have to picture what this cemetery looks like. It isn't a manicured modern lawn. It is a dense, towering forest. The approach is lined with thousands upon thousands of stone graves, monuments, and moss-covered lanterns.
Just nestled right in the trees.
Yeah, honoring everyone from anonymous monks to ancient feudal lords to ordinary citizens. Walking through Okunoin isn't depressing. It is profoundly humbling. After the physical triumphs of conquering the trail, walking among the ancient stones forces you to contextualize your own incredibly small, fleeting place in the universe. It grounds you.
It is the ultimate ego check. And then for the final leg of the journey, the group leaves the mountains entirely. They cross the massive Akashi Kaikyu Bridge and head to Awaji Island.
A completely different vibe.
Right. Awaji is fascinating because it's deeply tied to Japan's earliest creation mythology. But the activities the itinerary focuses on here are wonderfully tactile and mundane.
Exactly. The focus shifts to the hands.
Right. They hike a small mountain known as the Awaji Fuji up to a temple. But then they do a natural indigo dyeing workshop. They visit a local pottery artisan working at his grandmother's traditional home. They meet a sustainable food producer who takes surplus island vegetables that would normally go to waste and turns them into handcrafted goods.
And this is where the genius of this specific itinerary reveals itself. Think about it. The first half of the journey teaches you how to be a pilgrim on a sacred, ancient trail. It teaches you how to endure physical hardship and find quiet. But you can't stay on the mountain forever.
Eventually, you have to go back to your normal life.
Precisely. And Awaji Island is the bridge back to reality. Awaji Island teaches you how to take that pilgrimage mindset and apply it to daily modern life. Think about the mechanics of indigo dyeing. It isn't a quick process.
It takes a while, doesn't it?
It takes a lot of patience. You dip the fabric into a vat of fermented leaves. It comes out green, and you have to wait patiently as the oxygen in the air slowly turns it blue. Then you dip it again. And wait again. It requires intense patience, repetition, and being completely present in the moment.
Which is exactly what walking the stone steps required. It's the same mechanism, just applied to a piece of fabric instead of a mountain.
Yes. The pottery, the farm-to-table sustainability, it all shows you that mindfulness and the sacred aren't just reserved for grand shrines and towering waterfalls. The sacred can be found in how we eat, how we craft, and how we sustain our local communities. It takes the profound and makes it practical.
That is such a powerful translation of the Sister Trail concept. Mm. The Camino teaches you that the journey is more meaningful than the destination. And this Japanese itinerary takes it one step further, proving that your daily life is the actual journey.
It creates a perfectly complete narrative arc. I mean, you start in the urban noise of Osaka. You transition into the physical struggle of the roots and stones. You find spiritual awe at the waterfalls. You experience monastic quiet at the cemetery. And you finish with artistic, sustainable living on the island before returning home.
So if we look back at our mission for this deep dive today, contrasting these two UNESCO World Heritage paths, the underlying lesson from the sources is incredibly clear. Whether you are drinking Rioja wine and laughing loudly in a Spanish parador, or you are soaking silently in a Japanese onsen, the geography is just the canvas.
The setting doesn't matter as much as the mindset.
Right. The real destination is the internal stillness you achieve along the way. You are learning the mechanics of how to slow down. So the question for you to ponder is this. Why is it that no matter where we are in the world, whether it's a Gothic cathedral in Spain or a misty cedar forest in Japan, our ultimate spiritual and historical journeys almost always involve physically walking towards something fragile that our ancestors desperately tried to protect?
It's a powerful thought.
It really is. And looking at your own life, what relics, what ideas, what places, what memories would you walk miles to preserve? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep learning, keep exploring, and we'll see you out there.